Yes. Got it. Yes, yes, y'all. What's going on, good people? My name is MC Till. Welcome to the Boom Bap Chat number 117. Super excited about the show tonight. If you're watching tonight, you know why. We're going to introduce our guests in just a moment. But I am MC Till. And tonight, as always, I'm representing Everybody's Records here in Cincinnati. If you don't live here, you can't get here, then check them out online at everybybody'srecords.com. Profound.
What the deal?
And who you representing tonight, man?
Man, Profound, you know it. Chicago, Bolingbroke. I'm representing the Cancer Society tonight, man.
Oh, right on, man. No. Right on. That's dope.
Yo, who you representing, bro?
Man, I'm representing all the mothers that gave birth. So shout out to Francesca, who just gave birth to their first child. Shout out to Francesca and Jason. Just gave birth to their first seed, Mateo, my little nephew. Can't wait to meet him. So,
oh, nice. Congratulations.
Shout out to, yeah. Shout out to all the mothers, man, who gave birth, man. That's what I'm representing tonight, for sure.
Right on. Thanks, Almas. All right. Tonight, let's get into it. Now, you could call our guest tonight one of the greatest lyricists we've ever seen, and you probably should. You could say he is a remarkable artist with an incredible catalog under his belt, and that would be true. But what's most inspiring to me is that our guest tonight is a thoughtful human being who is, in my opinion, getting better as an artist as time goes on and appears to be getting better as a person, which is really, really dope. We're going to ask him about that and a lot more right now. Please join me as we welcome to the Boom Bap Chat, Homeboy Sandman.
Thank you for that introduction.
No doubt, man. Thanks for being here, Homeboy Sandman. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm having a fantastic evening.
Right on, man. The first thing we always do on this show is we like to give flowers. We invite people on that we respect and we like. And I mean, I could, you know, the whole show could just be me giving you accolades, but one of the things that I really, really appreciate about you, aside from the catalog that I've been enjoying over the years, love your catalog. You just put out such great music. Is that, like, in recent interviews and even with, like, listening to your new music with Still Champion, it just sounds like you, like I said in the intro, like, not only are you getting better as an artist, which a lot of times doesn't happen. A lot of artists put out, like, great work, and then, like, they're always trying to capture that great work, and they never quite get back to that place. It seems like you are getting better over time as an artist, which is super dope. And this album, Still Champion, like, I'm playing it all the time. I'm playing it around my kids. Like, there's no words on there where there's no, like, language or anything. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't play this for the kids. You know, like, it's such a great, pure album. And it just, it feels like listening to that album, it just feels like you're in a really good place just in your life. And I think that's super dope. So flowers to you for that.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, man. And, you know, all the glory be to God indeed, you know.
Yeah.
Happy to be involved.
No doubt. So I wanted to start with a few fun questions. The first one, my daughter wanted me to ask you. All right. So this is from my daughter. She's 11-year-old, sixth grader. And she wanted me to ask you, are you still waiting on your girl?
No, I'm not. I'm not. My girl is right on time.
On time.
Yeah.
Right on.
That was the previous circumstance that is now obsolete.
Okay. Right on. For those that don't know, there's Homeboy Sandman's song called Waiting on My Girl that my daughter really likes. So yeah. And the question I have for you, the silly question I have for you starting off is, are you still Black Thought's biggest fan?
Black Thought is, you know, one of the most gifted. You know what for a long time in my life, I was Black Thought's biggest fan. Mm-hmm. And I was certain of that because Cass wasn't even up on Black Thought. I was Black Thought's biggest fan 20 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But so it is super, it's fantastic to see now the recognition of the brilliance. Cause, you know, at one point I was like, that's the rapper from the roots. Listen to this, you know? So now there's a lot of competition, you know, as Black Thought's biggest fan, which is a good thing.
Yeah, that's dope. And he's another artist that I feel like, man, he was so dope back then, but some of the stuff he's been putting out recently is like, man, some of this, to me, like, some of the writing he's doing is even better than back then, in my opinion. But
yeah, I think, you know, I think, I think it's definitely different and not the same, and definitely right. top tier. You know what I'm saying? I love it throughout. So
yeah, yeah,
definitely ain't no drop off of any sort. You know, I definitely yeah. see an evolution. Yeah,
yeah, for real. Being that he is such a lyrical phenomenon, I wanted to ask you about you as a lyricist. I mean, over the years and your albums, it seems like you just a master of like, kind of like you can do straightforward rhyming. You can rhyme fast, slow. You can do these like really interesting word plays where you're just kind of like rhyming all over the place. And like, you know, you can do like sing songy rapping, like you can kind of do everything. Do you know like which direction you're going to take? Like you sit, when you sit down and write, does the beat pull it out of you? Are you purposefully trying to like push the boundaries of what you can do lyrically?
I mean, I think I'm, you know, I'm purposefully trying to, you know, do something, you know, that feel fresh to me, feel new to me, you know? You know, the production is a big, you know, is a big, it does provide the impetus, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is kind of the catalyst and the enzyme for what I do a lot of the time, or predominantly, because you know, that's like the bull I'm riding in. And well, I don't like the rodeo riding the bull. So let me, you know, something else, you know, like that's the partner in the marriage, you know, got to partner right. up in a special way. So you know, I have to, you know, the beat determines a lot, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, when I do a lot of writing, you know, books and stuff like that. And I remember writing this piece. I don't know if it was on you specifically, but I remember you were the inspiration for this thing that I wrote about lyrics and how some artists, for me, it's like the analogy is like a mountain and the artist is like a stream, and like the mountain is the beat, you know, and the stream is the lyrics, and like the way that you are able to just kind of meander, you know, down that beat is, you know, just remarkable, you know.
That's kind of fly. You write books? What book you wrote?
Yeah, we write these books called the Boom Bap Review.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, so yeah, we'll have to send you some, because you're in at least one of them. So we'll have to send you a copy. And Still Champion will definitely be in next year's book. So we'll get you one of those for sure. Yeah. So this week, in preparing for tonight, I was watching the interview you did with Luke Bailey, I think is his name, with Fly Fidelity.
Okay.
And it was a really dope interview. And you said something in there. You talked about how you wanted your art to be like real, like really matter. And you talked about how like artwork can be powerful, and you want your art to help others. And I was just curious to know what kind of art or artists were that for you, or are that to you, that you find powerful and that help you?
Right, right. My favorite artist of all time is Stevie Wonder, you know, you know, audio love and audio faith and audio, you know, magic, you know?
Yeah.
Billy Joel is the man. I love some Billy Joel records.
Okay.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of Billy Joel that I really love, you know, that corresponds with things I find to be important. The joint he did with Ray Charles, Baby Grand is crazy. Ray Charles is crazy. On a hip hop tip, one of the first records that comes to mind as far as this is really important, as far as spreading frequency, is Mos Def, Black on Both Sides. You know, he was really in the zone. You know, I love New Danger too, and you know, I love it. But that Black on Both Sides record, you know, like he was very tapped in, very, very tapped in. Those are some of the first things that come to mind. But you know, I love Chaka Khan records. I'm a big music fan. But those are some of the first, you know, musical artists that come to mind that I feel I listen to their stuff and help get me tapped in with God.
Yeah, yeah, those are dope artists. Something else you said really resonated with me. And I want to ask you about this and then bring in Profound and Almas. You talked about music that, you know, has a lot of murder and killing in it, and how like it's just not really like, it's just like.
Yeah, I don't rock with it at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's corny. I think it's corny.
Yeah, and so I was curious to know, because do you like being in hip hop? Like, I'm sure you come across these artists often, I would assume. Yes, do you ever have conversations?
I do have conversations. About it?
And
yeah,
how do
yeah,
those go?
Yeah. I mean, I'm very comfortable being out here talking to you and being like, yo, I don't like music about killing and things that I think are awful. Like, I don't think music, I don't like no
I'm
killing nigga
I'm
records.
Vocal about that
I don't want to hear no, you know, I don't want to hear any of that. I don't want it to, you know, I'd rather leave or ask somebody to, if they could change it or something like that. You know, obviously I have people that are close to me that I care about that listen to these records, and some people even make these records.
Yeah.
So conversations with them are different. I do have respect and love for everybody. You know what I mean? You ask people who they're representing. I'm out here representing, you know, all guys, creatures, great and small. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I got what I'm into and what I'm down for. But when I have a conversation with an individual, if it seemed like it could be a meaningful conversation about any component of my dislike for that, you know, then I always try to be respectful, you know what I mean? And I always try to definitely be honest, you know. I do believe that it's truth over approval, you know what I mean? So, you know, when I run into a situation where, what I'm saying may not garner approval, you know, I have decided the truth is going to be over approval, but I do like to have constructive conversations, you know. Yeah. I don't like to you know, I mean, I'm not without fault and all that, and I'm on my journey, and I like to keep that in mind all the time as well. Yeah,
that's dope. I appreciate that about you. And I want to enter. I asked you, you know, because it's interesting to me. And I also want to enter into those conversations with artists that, you know, talk in those ways. So, and have constructive conversations. Almas, what's up?
Yeah, I just want to ask a question. Like, what do you think, based on what you just said, what do you think it's going to take to, like, shift the paradigm from that style of music? Like, what do you think is our responsibility, whether as artists or podcasters or whatever? Like, what do you think is like, what do you think it'll take to shift the paradigm from that?
I mean, you just had a nephew born or a niece?
Yeah, a nephew.
Do you have your own kids? Do you have
No.
You have a lot of nieces and nephews?
Yeah, quite a few. Yeah. I'm only child, so my nieces and nephews are like through friendships. I don't do friends. I only got brothers and sisters. So, but okay, their children call me uncle. So okay. I carry that with great honor. You know what
word
I mean?
Up. I feel you. I'm a uncle as well.
Yeah.
And you know, being an uncle, you know, I can see the effect that this influence has, you know, and even before that, I was a high school teacher, you know, I was a high school teacher in New York City public school, you know, and, you know, this is around the time when G Unit was big. I saw, you know, and even before, like, without even being a teacher, you know, like, I seen people get into things. I seen people, I got a ROM. I don't know if it's out, but I seen people ruin their lives because it was cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I have seen that, you know, and that you know, like, one thing that I think it would really take, you know, to shift the paradigm is people being honest about the influence that this proliferation, this is hypnosis. You can't be walking around all the time hearing records about murder, murder, murder. My nephew just told me, I talked to him about drill, you know, drill. Yeah. I won't call it drill rap because rap is a real thing, you know, and you don't get to call anything rap. But this drill, you know, and then a kid gets stabbed in his school. A kid was just stabbed in his school. And, you know, like, he don't see the connection. You know what I mean? Yeah. We got this. This is, we can't be numb in our minds. This is the cats, you know. I thank y'all for doing this podcast. You know, I'm sure y'all have all types of fantastic artists on. You know what I mean? And I'm happy I come from a time. If Black on Both Sides come out today, it wouldn't get the shine that it got.
Exactly.
And I'm happy that it was able to get that shine because right now, you know, it took a little while. Hip hop is still a, you know, what is it, 40 years or 47 years?
It'll be 50 years this year. 50 years.
Oh, will it be 50 years?
Yes, sir. Yeah. 50 years this year.
Time
August.
Time having fun. Yeah. but, you know, my only point is, you know, whenever something comes along, there's, you know, it's like when the internet came out, there's this period, or when there's a new medium for spreading love and truth, you know, it flourishes, you know, hip hop, it flourishes for a while before, you know, forces that aren't about love and truth find a way to distort it, you know, really, you know, and the way it's distorted now is, you know, it ain't black on both sides getting popularized right now. You know what I mean? It's brainwashed trying to hurt my nephew and niece and hurt your nephew and niece. And it's working and it's terrible and it's bad for everybody. So I think, you know, keeping that in mind at all times and discussing it at all times is an attack on us, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah, I think that keeping that in mind at all time and moving that way is what we need to do, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Man, I appreciate that, bro.
I appreciate the question.
Yeah, one of the things we're trying to do here on the podcast, I mean, most of the artists we have are artists that, you know, are not, you know, talking about violence and killing and whatnot. And in the book that we do, the annual hip hop review, I'm really trying to work hard to like make sure that we highlight artists that are not talking about that stuff, you know, more and more. But I don't know. It's tricky for me because there's still artists that are saying those things that are making really what I would consider really great music. It's just I don't like what they're talking about, you know. So it's an ongoing conflict for me personally. Like it's an inner battle. So I appreciate you talking on it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, like when I was growing up, you know, like we had G-Rap, you know, and G-Rap was talking about, you know, pop, pop, pop. I put his brains on the sidewalk, you know what I mean? Yeah, and we had, you know, Just Ice was, you know, like, so, but the thing about it is hip hop, you know, the way it's presented, I think hip hop is a skill and is a talent, you know what I mean? Like, I think there might be a kid in Malaysia who's dumb, nice rapping, you know, got the skill, got the gift. This is a skill, a gift I think is open to anybody who got the skill and gift to get tapped in with it. You know what I'm saying? But the way, you know, it's received and pushed out a lot is this is representative of a certain people. This is a snapshot of a certain people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it ain't the days when you had G-Rap and Just Ice, but also had De La and
KRS
ain't the days when you had the spectrum of, because humans, some humans are this way, some humans are that way. So when you have the wide range, it's a different thing.
True.
What I mean? Because you get to say, yo, well, this cat can rap and he really likes beating people up. This cat can rap and he cuts grass, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's about rapping. But the fact that it's been that is deviated from that to such a degree that, you know, changes it. So I could, you know, some of these cats are, you know, Rock Marciano is very talented.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it ain't no doubt about that, you know, but I don't want to hear that. You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
and I don't
want I understand. That's a great point.
Go ahead.
I was going to say just to ride off of what he's saying, because my question was kind of going to be like, with the classic records, like I know I understand your take, and my take is like that too, because I have children and I'm a grandfather now, so I'm very concerned, you know, about what they listen to and kind of what they hear. Does your take affect like music that you might have liked before previous that might be considered hip-hop classics and things like that?
That's a good question, because I do look back, like I used to listen to a lot of Mobb Deep, you know,
man. I was just getting ready to bring them up right on the head.
And I look back and I realize that, you know, there was some, in my lifetime as a child, there began to be nefarious energies at play as far as
what I was given, you know what I'm saying? And what was pumped to me and what I was told, yo, this is what you got to identify with. You know what I mean? You know, I think a mob is that way. Cause I was talking to my boy, Matt, the other day, who's the principal, you know, we grew up together and he's the principal of Nelson Mandela High School over here in East New York. Right.
Okay.
And he's talking to me cause he's got to deal with the kids every day. Right. And we were talking about mob cause we listen to mob, right. Was it good for us? What is he supposed to tell his kids now? He talks to them and they say to him, well, this is just older people always think younger people music is whack or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Does it right. go beyond that? What makes it different from that? What are the things that make this different from people that were in the jazz, not being in the hip hop? There are a lot of things. Oh, but to get to your question, I do look to get to your question. I was too young to understand the effect that it was having on me. That's why it was important for people that understood and were grown to share with me the truth and the fact, even if I didn't get it at that time. You know what I'm saying? Like we're talking about Black Thought. For years, I smoked weed all day. And it truly occurred to me, yo, Black Thought smokes weed all day. It can't be that bad. You know what I'm saying? And you know, we're talking about that's something that really happened to me in my life. You know what I'm saying? But so thank goodness my favorite rapper was Black Thought instead of somebody else, you know, like a relative, you know.
Right. Yeah.
It could have been, you know what I'm saying? But so you know, I could have used more people telling me, yo, the mob talking about robbing cat, you know, MOP talking about robbing cats. That ain't good. That ain't cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, make sure you remember that ain't cool. Make sure you remember that is not you and you don't want to be like that at all. You know, like, and there are classic records, you know, that I regard as classics. Shoot, man, when I was in 2008 or maybe I think it was 2008, first time I did the Brooklyn Hip Hop Festival. It's a beautiful festival. It was family day. You got families. Mm-hmm. You got kids and families. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Primo comes up, Primo spinning. And Primo starts playing 10 Crack Commandments, right?
Whoa.
And it's I'm looking at this beautiful vast sea of people,
whoa,
you know, and playing 10, and I'm like, yo, this ain't right. Something's wrong. You know what I mean? And but you know, I never realized it at the time, you know. But I don't want to hear 10 Crack Commandments, you know.
Well, we respect. Oh, go ahead, Almas.
No, I was just, man, he on point, man. I don't know. Till told me that you were an avid book reader, and I love MCs that's avid book readers, voracious book readers. I'm a fan of MCs, but when I discovered that they're voracious readers, that made me even more of a fan. So I don't know if you read Poor Righteous Teacher's book, 3/5 a Rapper. The manufacturing of a dumbed down rapper. And he talks about that, how basically the music industry basically shifted the paradigm to get us to be exactly where we are today. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, we was growing up in my time, like I tell this story all the time. I had no clue what I wanted to do with my life when I was like 16, 15. But when my cousin played me the Jungle Brothers straight out the jungle, that gave me perspective. It gave me identity. You know what I mean? So we had that music out there that was shaping. Like, my wife took me to go see Karis, one at a concert. And he asked the question, what is the music of today producing? Because he was like, I can tell you what the music of our era produced. It produced teachers, social workers, community activists. Mm. What is the music of today producing? And that's a good question. And I pose that question to youth when I do workshops. You know what I mean? I ask them, like, what is the music of today producing? And they say, all right, they mouth like, yo, it's killing and this, that, and the third. So like trying to get them to see how do we shift the paradigm. But man, I love that perspective, man. I'm with you on that. Like I'm on the same flavor, bro.
I'm with you and I appreciate the work you're doing, you know, with young people, man. Sounds like you're doing fantastic work.
Yeah, he is. He really is. Well, we certainly appreciate you and where you're coming from on this. Before, you know, I know our time is running, but I wanted to make sure we highlight a couple albums. Now, if you're listening or watching and don't know Homeboy Sandman's work, go check it out, listen to his work. He's got some great albums. And I would definitely suggest, personally, start with one of his newest ones, just came out a few months ago, Still Champion, produced by this really dope MC producer named Decca. It's my favorite album of yours, for sure. And I love a lot of your albums. But this one, there's something about this album. It's just, it feels light. It feels a little more free. It feels, I don't know, it's just got a Native Tongues vibe to it. And I love the Native Tongues. And you just sound at ease, you know? I don't know how to describe it, except for saying it's super dope. And so, yeah, so props to you for that.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, man. How are things going with that? Like, I know that was, you know, a great album, obviously, but does it feel that way? Does it feel like, oh, this album is special? This is different from the others?
Yeah, without a doubt, you know? I want to give a big shout to Decca, you know, who you mentioned. He got his own vibe on his records. You know, if you listen to Smoking Gun, which is a record he put out last year, which is my favorite rap album of last year, you know, barring Present Company, you know what I'm saying? But his rhymes are all important.
Yeah.
They're all important. Yeah. You know, like he don't never deviate to be like, oh, and by the way, I'm fly. Oh, and by the way, you know, like,
right, yeah.
But you know, and working with him, he has a great line that goes, the loudest ones never practice what they profess and point fingers when their own demons pose the greatest threat. You know what I'm saying? And he's got a bunch, like, that line, there's a, you know, he talks about love, he talks about God. You know, we share these things in common, which is why we hit it off as people and also as artists.
Yeah.
But the energy coming through his production and also when we're in studio together recording, you know, lends itself to a focus of this energy, you know what I mean? That we share in common, you know, on our Venn diagrams, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it really made for a, you know, this is, you know, take a track like Source Code, which he I do credit him for a lot of the specialness of my writing, because I know that I'm inspired by his dedication to importance, we're not the same, you know. I have, you know, we have different degrees of, you know, even optimism, you know.
I feel
like, you know, this is a very optimistic record for me. I'm a very optimistic person, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm grateful. I'm very grateful to be in a great place, you know, to be, you know, happy, to be, you know, creative, you know, to be surrounded with love and be healthy. I'm very happy about all that. So, you know, it's projecting, you know, it's projecting in that record, you know, it's where I'm at.
It's a great album. If you haven't heard it, go get it. It's called Still Champion by Homeboy Sandman, produced by Decca. My copy, I've been listening online. My copy still in the mail, waiting for Mellow Music. I guess the physical doesn't come out till next month. I ordered it months ago. I was like, oh, I can't wait. And then I realized it wasn't coming for several months.
Pardon me on those delays. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's all good. It's all good. Because I went in and checked it and it said it was like coming sometime in February, the physicals at least. Good, so, good. But anyway, if you haven't heard the album, go get it. Go to the Bandcamp, buy it, support Homeboy Sandman and Decca. It's a really, really great album. Decca does all the beats there. But then you did this other project kind of out of the blue, at least for me, 12 Days of Christmas. And you did all the production on this. Is that correct?
Oh, no. That's not. Yeah.
Okay. My bad. I misunderstood that.
Yeah. I produced one joint. I produced the last joint.
Okay. Is that the one where you said you just looped it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Gotcha.
Looped that up. Just chopped it up. But I got fantastic producers on that. Illingsworth, who did There in Spirit, has a joint.
Yes.
My boy Mono and Stereo, who produced All of Dusty and All of Cool Photo Crescent, has four joints. Nolan, formerly Nolan the Ninja, but Nolan has a, he's got a joint on there.
Okay.
Peanut Butter Wolf has a joint out there. Peanut Butter Wolf did a Second Day of Christmas. We got fantastic production on it.
Would it be a physical release of that project?
We're going to have cassettes of that, you know?
Yeah.
This is, I'll put that out on my own label called Dirty. Look, you know, they'll have the cassette with the QR code.
Okay.
But, you know, I said the title is Three Kings Day. The title is Dia de los Reyes. That's the title of the track that I produced.
Okay, and, right on.
We're gonna have, you know, I got my imprint Dirty Looks. You know, we figuring it out on the fly. So our first physicals are gonna be these cassette tapes with cassette QR codes. We're gonna have those shortly, but who knows? Might be vinyl on deck. You know.
Okay, right on. And real quick, can you just share a little bit what that album means to you and kind of what, you know, you would like people to get out of that album?
Well, the thing about it for me is, you know, art is a lifestyle for me. Creativity is, you know, I was at the gym one day and, you know, I'm thinking about how to release music. You know, I want to, you know, another, I don't want to be constricted by this. You drop an album every year, you tour that album. You know what I mean? Like, I've already broken from that, you know, I put out like 5 records last year, 3 or 4 or whatever.
Yeah.
I've already been like, you know, called the tour, the combination of the last 2 albums. I've already done that, but that's still, I want to put out music whenever I want. 12 Days of Christmas and Three Kings Day is an opportunity to put out 13 joints. Shoot, maybe I'll put out 20 love songs for Valentine's Day. whenever there's any type of excuse to drop, I feel like I'm liable to drop, you know? So what the 12 Days of Christmas and Dia de los Reyes is just a gift, you know? I don't, music is what I have to give, you know?
Yeah.
So we dropped the jam every day starting December 25th, going to January 6th. And, you know, this is fly jams, you know, fly jams. Everybody still does This Is By Hand.
Yeah, no doubt. It's dope. And if you're listening in and you're not on Homeboy Sandman's mailing list, you should get on it. Cause I assume you're writing those emails out. They definitely sound.
Yeah. I write my emails get homeboysandman@gmail.com. You know, get on, email me. I'll put you on the email list. Write back to me, say something, you know, say something that makes sense, and I'll write back.
Now, before we get out of here, do you have time for our game one word? It goes absolutely pretty quick. All right, right on. So I'm going to play this little intro piece that Profound put together for us, and then we'll jump into it. Here we go.
Okay, party people in the house.
Let's get ready to rumble!
In this portion of the show, we'll show an assortment of hip-hop albums and challenge our guests to describe them in one word or less. Do you accept the challenge?
I accept.
You accept. Homeboy accepts the challenge. All right, here we go. One word or less. Can you tell us what this album means to you, or just, you know, just one word to describe it? This is He's the DJ, I'm the Rapper by DJ Jazzy Jeff.
All right.
Fresh Prince.
One word or less.
Open it up here.
Beginnings.
Beginnings.
Foundation.
What? Foundation.
Yeah.
Foundation for you?
Well, I think foundation, you know, I was 7 when that, right? Oh, 7 or 8 when that came out. That's the first rap album that I knew front to back every lyric. That was it. Wow. Okay. And until then, you know, I had older, particularly 2 aunts of mine. I had an older uncle that would put me on the hip hop. They put me on the, you know, Big Daddy Kane or you know, Slick Rick, Boogie Down Productions. But I was just a kid, you know? Yeah. So I thought, oh, this is cool. Plus, there was a bunch of music around me as a kid. It was Southside. It was all types of, you know, how freestyle music, whatever, sure, jazz. I could have chose any type of music. But when that record came out and they rapping about, oh, I just watched Nightmare on Elm Street. Mm-hmm. Oh, I gotta go clothes shopping for school or whatever. Like, that was like, oh, this, I relate to this music for, you know, and through that, I got into other hip hop, which previously had been less accessible to me. I got into LL Cool J after listening to Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince.
That's cool. All right, we're going to stay in Philadelphia for the next one. This is Illadelph Half-Life by The Roots.
Apex, you know what
Apex.
I mean?
I mean,
you know, the reason why, you know, I was just listening to the joint that Thought just did with, you know, with L. Michael's Affair, you know what I mean? And the bars are out of control.
Yeah.
This is, you know, as is customary, but there ain't nothing topping, you know, at the last spots, I got credit. Could run them down.
Come on, man. Yes, sir.
Yo, you know what I mean? Like, what? Apex is Illegal Half-Life.
My
you know?
God, dog.
Love this. This is my favorite Roots album. Love that album. Love that album. All right, two more.
Man, rest in peace to Malik B, too, bro.
Yeah, man.
He was so ill, bro.
Man. All right, this is one of my favorite albums of all time. And we've had this guest on here, Drez and Mr. Lounge. A Wolf in Sheep's Clothing by Black Sheep.
Effortless. I'm going to go with Effortless.
Effortless.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, want to go with, you know, underrated because Drez is one of the nicest.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, I got a joint with Drez on the Everton record with him and Jerobi.
Oh, I'm that's
on
right.
there. Yeah, yeah. I'm on there. Yes. A joint called Blood of Horns, you know? So I got Bill with Drez, Bill with, you know, but Drez, I mean, I was going to say cool because Drez is just, he's just the coolest. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, in the pantheon of cool, maybe you got Slick Rick, maybe you got Drez, you know, it's hard to think who even, you know, reached that level of just when I step in, I'm cool and everybody know it. But I'm gonna say Effortless because the coolness he had without even you know he just always seemed to me like just so effortless with his
shout out to Drez and shout out to Patton Locke. I think Patton Locke, rest in peace Patton Locke, I think he did the beat for that joint if I'm not mistaken. The one that with Everton, the horns.
Oh, did he horns do that blow? Beat? I didn't even know that.
If I'm not, I know he did a couple, one or two on that album. I thought it was that one. My apologies. But rest in peace, Patton Locke. He was super dope. All right. Last one here. You brought it up. Dope album. This is Black on Both Sides by formerly Mos Def.
Yeah. One word. I mean, maybe the word would be Source, you know?
Source.
Short for The Source. I just believe, you know, Moses just tapped in with the sauce. That's that record is about God. You know, it starts out with fear not of man because man must die.
Man.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
And
right.
and all throughout, you know, all throughout it's lessons. It maybe says, lessons to be it, or maybe you know, lessons, source. I just thought it was magic front to back, you know?
Yeah. Great album. I love this album.
I was just listening to Umi Says going on a walk, man. That just
and Timeless, maybe Timeless even. Yeah,
bro.
Umi Says. And then
man.
Me and my sister, what was the last joint that was May December that the 88 Keys did the beat for? Me and my sister interpretive dance to May December, you know?
That's dope. That's super dope. Well, listen, we could do a whole show on just breaking this album down with you. We could break down your albums. If you ever want to come back on Homeboy Sandman and discuss whatever, we would love to have you back anytime.
I really appreciate y'all having me on this time.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Peace and love, one and all. Definitely pleasure chopping up with all three of y'all. I got 5 shows coming up in Florida. I'm about to come to Miami, Orlando, Tampa, Jacksonville.
Sweet.
And West Palm, you know,
right on.
And after that, I'm going to Europe for a bunch of shows. So keep in tune with that.
Yeah,
hit me up at homeboysandman@gmail.com. We going to South by Southwest. We got a bunch of stuff coming up. Hit me up at homeboysandman@gmail.com. Keep in tune.
Yeah, no doubt. And as customary on the Boom Bap Chat, we always give shout outs at the end. So we'll give a few shout outs and then just hand it over to you for any further additional shout outs you want to give. Is that cool?
Let's do shout outs.
Yeah, man, it's a hip hop show. Profound, who you want to shout out tonight, man?
Man, Homeboy Sandman, for one.
Heck yeah.
Coming through. Thank you, brother, for coming through. We had some comments in the chat today. I'm gonna read this one real quick. Jason and Francesca here watching and sincerely appreciating the tone of this conversation and the conviction that Homeboy Sandman is speaking with. Much love to you all.
Right.
So yeah, man, it's like it's my sentiment exactly. As usual, I'm shouting out the 6 children that are like destroying the house right now. As usual, they catch me online, and my crew, Io and Till and Bo and Stowe, and Joe November, man, big shout outs of course, and Chicago to home as usual.
Right on. Io Mas.
Yeah, man. Shout out to brother. You know what I'm saying? Homeboy Sam, man, for coming through, man. Much respect to you, bro. Like, I just, Till be hit, you know, put me on to, like, artists, and you, like, one of the new additions. So I'm looking forward to like journeying with your music, going back and like listening to, like, I like basically what I've heard so far. So I'm looking forward. So shout out to you. Shout out to Crib, Chicago, obviously. Shout out Toronto. Shout out to Jason and Francesca and Mateo. You know what I'm saying? My little nephew just entered into the world. You know what I'm saying? He's going to change the world. You know what I'm saying? So just feeling good right now. This conversation got my mind thinking, got my mind moving. So I really appreciate the conversation. So and respect to the Boom Bap crew, you know, Boom Bap family, Joe Stowe, Pro Joe, you know what I'm saying? Everybody, man.
Peace. Real quick, I just want to shout out Luke Bailey and Fly Fidelity for the interview that they did with Homeboy Sandman, I don't know, a month ago, 2 months ago, recently. If y'all hadn't checked that out, go check out that interview. It's a really, really dope interview with Homeboy Sandman. And to Homeboy Sandman, man, thank you so much for sharing some of yourself with us tonight and all the great music you've given us over the years, man. I appreciate you. And
my pleasure.
Just appreciate you where you are. Yeah.
Thanks so much for peeping. Yep. Thanks so much for spreading the word. Big shout out to the three of y'all. Big shout out to your new nephew. You say you got 6 kids?
Yes, sir.
Dag, my boy, that's... I have no idea how you do that. You a super heroic type of cat. My boy Randy Mason, big shout out to Randy Mason, who's a feature on Still Champion. He also has 6 kids. And big shout out to Doctor. My love.
Right on. Sweet. And on that note, we say
peace.
Peace. Peace. Peace. Peace.